Hi everyone. So there's no opening scene, there's no dramatic music and no tension for today. Over the past several episodes, we have dealt with very complex topics, and some of which take a few listens in order to fully absorb the information. And while these topics are extremely important to get into, I actually don't want us to get carried away with the complexities and end up in a situation where we lose track of why we're even on this journey in the first place. Sometimes the complicated topics can be a barrier for a lot of us who are still relatively new to African spirituality. And more than anything, we struggle with just simply finding our own place and our own understanding of how things work. We come online and there are a lot of different people saying a lot of different things, and we are not sure what to take or what is irrelevant to us. And this is especially confusing because a lot of the information seems to focus mainly on those who have callings or those who are looking for solutions to their life's problems. So, here you are. You have developed an interest in African spirituality, or something in you is pulling you towards that direction. You have a basic understanding of ancestors, and you are aware that they play a role in your life, even though you're not entirely sure what that role exactly is. And you're finding yourself asking, what now? What's the next step? How do I go from here to a point where I can say that I am a person who practices African spirituality? I've put together this short series that focuses on African spirituality for beginners. The idea is to try to lay down some kind of step-by-step guide for helping you to implement African spiritual practices in your own life and to understand some of the basic concepts within it. In this first part of the series, we're going to be looking into understanding your ancestral lineage. To take us through this, I contacted Gogo Mahlodi, who will help break down who your ancestors are, what is their role in your life, and how do you actually get to know them and develop a relationship with them as well. An amazing human being who is all about throwing bones and banishing demons, Vuyiswa Xekathwane, also known as Gogo Mahlodi, is a writer, a healer, and diviner based in Joburg. She is deeply intentional about healing and deeply devoted to the alchemic genius of blackness. So me coming to you now, I'm just a person who's new into this, right? I'm coming to you with, I don't know anything, right? So basically I'm trying to map how a person goes from wanting to learn and taking them through the process of learning. You know, this is where you should start. This is where you should go next. And as a guide, not necessarily as a textbook, but as a guide, like, this is the general direction in which you want to go to.
Yeah.
So when I was thinking about it, I'm like, what would be the first thing that a person needs to know when it comes to African spirituality as it pertains to them as an individual, not as a spiritual practice in general? You know? So the first thing I thought about is understanding your lineage. And at the very basic of that, without assuming that people have already an understanding, if we were to set a benchmark or a common ground to say, who are your ancestors? You know, what are ancestors and what is their actual function in a person's life?
I think I want to start with something that I heard in your podcast, right? Which is what Bob and Aubrey were saying this today when I was listening, which is when we talk about ancestors, we are talking about a historical fact. That was so potent for me, right? Because when we talk about history, we talk about lineage, right? We talk about genetics. We talk about literally the essence of your blood, right? Mm. And that is where we start. Mm. So you start with yourself, right? Who you are. You are the child of so-and-so and so-and-so. And they are the children of so-and-so and so-and-so. And that's when we start to fashion and to cultivate an idea of who ancestors are, right? Because you understand that you stand in a gap or you stand along a path of a bloodline that has already been established. And the work that you have to do now is to determine, and that I think what is easier is like our parents, we know who our parents are, but who are their parents? And who are their parents' parents? And who are, you know, that is the work of understanding your lineage. But we all have a place to start, which is with ourselves.
Yes.
Because you know who your parents are.
Yes.
And even if you, which is, I guess, the case for most people in South Africa, even if you don't know who your father is, you know, we have like a big thing with like paternal energy or paternity and that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But you always know most likely who your mother is.
Yes.
And that's a place to start. Mm-hmm. And that's a trail to follow, you know? And even to speak on the thing of this idea that the paternal is so important. It is, and it has its place. And I see it a lot in my work where like, whether you are acknowledged or not acknowledged, amadlozi wakabo babo wakho are always present in Tlolweni, at least, which I can assume is a reflection of your actual life, right? We would see whether you know them, whether you carry the surname, but bakhona. But then the maternal ancestors, which are the ones we do know, which are the ones we don't have to be introduced to, right?
Is it?
Also, well, I mean, when you were born, when you were created, you are in your mother's body.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So amadlozi of that woman already know. Obviously, there is a child here.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And
so there's never a process of being introduced to your mother's family.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
You know, it's almost like that's the default setting. You know.
Ugutsi,
if those ones are not gonna come and claim you, these ones are always gonna be.
Does that mean you always belong? Because with the whole paternal issue, there's a sense of,
I don't belong.
If my father rejects me, that it automatically means that I don't belong to that family. And there's a sense that even his people have rejected me. You know. So the premise of what you're saying then is that you always belong to your mother's.
You always belong somewhere, which is to your maternal ancestors. You know.
Yes.
And I still need to speak through this with my elders, but the way that I have understood and perceived it is like there is a reason you need to be introduced, you know, so that people can, number one, prove ukuthi they're gonna take care of this child.
Okay.
You know, number one, inhlawulo and all of those other rituals and observations that take place.
So inhlawulo in this instance would be a show of intention.
Part of it.
Okay.
That's
part of
the consideration.
Yes.
You know. To say, I acknowledge this child. Often than not, I acknowledge ukuthi ngonile kuleli khaya also. And I'm willing to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
And I think there's something also to be said like about women and men, paternal, patriarchy, masculinity, and all of that in that thing, you know? Because, again, in my experience as isangoma, when we do see icala between amadlozi, paternal and maternal, it usually falls on the paternal side. Ukuthi it's gabo baba, ukuthi they didn't do things right, you know. And gabo mama, that's why baxabana nalaba. That's why there's this muvango, basically, over a person, you know. Because there was someone who needed to acknowledge responsibility for something that probably didn't. You know, and I think that has a lot to say about men as opposed to what is required on a spiritual level. Because like I'm saying, often it is the paternal you find on their side, you know. So it's ubaba, that didn't laula, that didn't pay damages, yeah. that didn't do things, mm. right? And I think a big part of that is shame,
mm-hmm.
why men don't do that,
yeah.
you know, feeling like, and that shame is influenced by capitalism,
mm.
you know, to be like, I don't have a job, or yes. I'm not able to do this, yes. or I don't have the money for yes. that. And because you're not able to meet that first step, then you stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Like completely.
Mm.
I'm waiting for the day I have a job. I'm waiting for the day I have enough money. I'm waiting, you know?
Mm.
And it's like, but that thing is locking you out
yeah.
of a relationship
yeah.
and just admitting what you have done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You okay. know? But in the absence of that, in the absence of mostly men coming mm-hmm. forward, does not mean ut umuntu akana amadlozi ahamba naye, and does not mean ut the paternal ancestors are not there.
Mm.
They might not have the same rights
mm.
as the maternal.
Yes.
They might not have the same influence as the maternal.
Yes.
But idlozi, going back again to what I was saying, yes. is a historical fact, which mm. means it's about also genetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like in your blood,
mm-hmm.
you have a trace of this lineage. You know? Whether you have been acknowledged, whether damages have been paid, whether you know who this person is,
mm.
and all of that. Which is why we will also find ukuthi umuntu, if they were raised by a stepfather,
mm.
right? Wayenza imbeleko and all of those things,
mm-hmm.
lawo madlozi end up then taking care of that child.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Ubaba often says, like, ungahlawula any man, anybody. Ungasuka any man from anywhere.
Mm.
To say ukuthi lomntana ngiyamthatha.
Mm.
You know, and if they do right by their child, then they have the right,
mm.
you know, because they've done right
yeah.
to say, I'm willing to yeah. take care of this child and to encompass mm-hmm. this person in my family,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure,
you know,
yeah. But now I want us to take a step back,
yeah,
slightly. In that, one of the things that I've always found confusing about the whole understanding of ancestors and idlozi, especially in this context that you're talking about, of intlawulo and this, is that why can't they, what are these rules? You know, why are they governed by such strict rules that, for example, my father abandoned me,
mm.
you know, and this is just, I'm not mm-hmm. talking about me as a person, you know, let's say, for example, if my father had abandoned me, and because people would be like, why would my father's ancestors want me when they should have stopped him from leaving in the first place?
I think it's two things. Number one, to acknowledge ukuthi there is a difference between izinto zasemhlabeni nezinto zedlozi. So this is often what I have to explain to people ukuthi, yes, you're upset ukuthi the father, your mm-hmm. father, didn't mm-hmm. do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean ukuthi amadlozi are not there.
Mm.
Right? So that's the first thing.
Ukuthi
uhlukanise izinto zasemhlabeni nezinto zedlozi. Right? Because when we start to talk about amadlozi and umbango wamadlozi and all of those things, sesikhuluma ngamadlozi. We're not talking about izinto zasemhlabeni.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And number two is to also understand ukuthi amadlozi also have their limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Amadlozi can guide a person towards a particular thing. Amadlozi can show someone a particular thing. But amadlozi can't always force someone into a particular action.
Mm.
And we know this because even now, as amadlozi, they are still paying for things that they needed to do emhlabeni that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like there are limitations to amadlozi
mm-hmm.
and what they can do and what they can force a person to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean ukuthi they're not noting and they're not seeing,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then there's also the issue of ukuthi ukuthi ubaba wakho akakuhlawulanga is one issue. Ukuthi amadlozi wakho ubaba wakho ahamba nawe is another issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That thing should have been solidified in a particular way, emhlabeni, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't negate the intricacy of spirituality and genetics, you know?
Okay.
Because you can say, angimazi, angimthandi, you know, he didn't do right by
yes.
me,
yes.
but that doesn't mean ukuthi his blood is not flowing through your veins.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, another step back, because I want to keep this so basic, right? The entity that is idlozi, why should I believe that my drunkard of a grandfather who died is now this enlightened being who knows better, when he was here, he was relatively a useless person, if I can put it that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's also another hurdle that we struggle to get over, is to, if this person was so limited here, and the way we're talking about them when they're on the other side, it sounds like we're still talking about the same person. You know, how is it that they now know better when they're on the other side than when they were here?
I think it goes back to the same thing of having a consideration for the difference between izinto zasemhlabeni nezinto zaseluzini. You know, we don't know what is happening on the other side. We can only assume that when people get to the other side, there is a perspective that they have that they didn't have when they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what allows them to know better.
So it's a change of perspective that it happened.
I would believe so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for me, the thing that allows me to have this belief is you know, she went to Methodist, we've spoken about this many times, was a devout Christian, never showed any signs or suggested to anybody ukuthi umuntu onebizo or all of those things. But mangifike phehlweni, she was the first lozi to come out. My assumption is that when she got to the other side, bamtshela ukuthi oh, and she lived for a long time until she was 99.
Yo.
She lived her whole life, you know, just like suppressing and hiding this thing, you know, in the church and, you know, presenting in the on like in the world as a particular kind of person. Didn't have any consideration or reverence for them, was just like umama wasesontweni, you know. But like I'm saying, when it was time for me, her great granddaughter to twasa, she was the first person to come out, which says to me ukuthi naye she had this gift, you know. And how do I reconcile her being the first lozi to come out with her living this life as a devout Methodist person? You know, my assumption then, and again, I don't know, I'll hear when I get to the other side, Nam. But my assumption is that when she got to the other side, bamtshela bathi, sorry, sisi, you had a duty to do, and you didn't fulfill it, and you still need to go back and do it. Which is also why amadlozi come back, you know, because there's things that they need so that they can transition fully, so that they can grow to the level that they need to grow on the other side, despite the life that they had in emhlabeni. And I can only assume it's because of perspective, you know, that she knows better now, that she's in a place where whoever, maybe it's amanye amadlozi, other family members, maybe the source and God himself, is saying, kuthi ena, you had this thing all wrong. And that's why she was able to come back as ilozi. Because if she transitioned and existed on the other side as umama was esontweni, then I would assume that she wouldn't have been the first lozi to come out mina mangthwasa. You know, because we are clear on what her politics and her stance religiously was emhlabeni. And yet she came back to be like,
okay,
kina kitlubulelang babang.
Okay, so we now we can go back to basically exploring the idea of the lineage and how to navigate that. So now I have a better understanding of the entity of Ilozi and where it fits in into my life. But now, one of the biggest hurdles that we have nowadays is that from having that conversation with you, where do I go with it? You understand? So my next question is, what kind of conversations should I be having with my family in order to then take that understanding of that you've given me, that explanation of Ilozi, and start putting faces to it? You know? So what should I be talking to my family about? What kind of questions should I be asking in my family to then start building that picture of ancestors in my family?
I think it starts, and this is what I always say to my clients, Uti, it's important to understand, even though amadlozi, we have to fetch them, sometimes you are phahlelanga ngaphandle and blah, 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 blah. But idlozi likuwe, essentially, you know? And I mean, I really appreciate the scientific, genetic understanding of lineage and of DNA and what makes us who we are, right? And I think that's where we should start, to be like, idlozi likim, this nose that I have, there was someone else before me who had it. These eyes that I have, these cheekbones, this hair, you know, the blood in my veins, you know, that's where we start. So when you are engaging your family, it's important to ask those questions like, who is your mother? Who is your father? Who is your grandmother? Who is your grandfather? You know, so that you start to, where are they from? you know, like, okay, most of us are born in an urban setting, but we all have a history beyond it, you know, because most of our families came here because of the gold rush and work opportunities and all of that. But where is home? You know, what were the practices of that place, of where these people come from? You know, what were the rituals that were observed when people were coming of age, for instance? You know, but I think the place really to start is like from yourself. It's okay, my parents are these people. Who are their parents? Who are their grandparents? You know, that's how we understand a lineage, because I think people want to go there, Bayolanda Makosi or whoever, there, you know, where it's like ukoko wako. Ukoko wako. Those are the people that you need to connect with. And maybe some way, as you're connecting and speaking and doing all of those things, these other older and much more ancient ancestors will come forward, you know. But it's important to understand also where you are in the bloodline. You know? Ulandela abobani. You are born from who? Uzalwa abobani. You know? To have an understanding of ancestry and to have an understanding of your lineage and of the history of your people, you know? And yeah, like there's this, I don't know if the word is like mystical or whatever, like sense that people have, but I really, really appreciated what Ubab Obri was saying, which is, this is a historical fact. Awuzalanga, you didn't birth yourself. And those people didn't birth themselves. And those people didn't birth themselves. All of them come. And it takes two people to bring people into into a force and into a life kind of existence, you know? So who are these people that have birthed these people? That's the question.
And I guess it, approaching it that way helps, especially for people who especially come from very religious families. Because then you're not necessarily talking about idlozi. Now you're just talking about people
in your family.
It's because now you're basically talking about a family tree, because some people are scared of talking about ntotsabadimu with their Christian families, because they're like, no, we don't do those things. Whereas you're just looking for information. You're not sort of trying to instigate anything or imply anything about.
And more often than not, for people that feel this affinity to connect with their ancestry and all of that, what is required is just to recollect names to make sure that people are not forgotten, you know? And that's where family trees come in. And sometimes that is your task, to build a family tree, to establish a family tree, to do this work of finding out, how do we become here? You know, and this is why I'm like, I like this scientific genetic conversation, you know, because maybe it's not as controversial as idlozi, spirituality and all of that. It's it's literally just like ngizalwa ubani, bona bazalwa wabo bani, and how do I connect with those people to be a better person in the world, you know?
Okay. So then, once those conversations are now happening, it's back to me now. Okay, so what's the first step in now consciously establishing a relationship with my ancestors? Once I'm talking now, I'm getting information, what then do I do to say now I have a relationship, a conscious relationship with? What is the first thing that I should do?
This really sounds like all the consultations I have with people all the time.
Yes.
So hence everyone who's going to be listening to this is basically getting a free consultation. Okay. They should come to my workshop. I just want to plug it, because this is some of the stuff we'll be talking about. But all relationships require communication.
Yes.
All relationships require consistency.
Yes.
Those are the two fundamentals. You need to communicate. You need to talk to these people. You can't just think about it and wonder and be all up in your head. You actually need to talk to them. Okay, wena koko ozalu mama, here I am, libitso laka ke Simangmang, ke tsalwa ke Simangmang le Simangmang, and I'm asking you, whoever it is that you know, however far back you can recall people's names, ukhuluma nabo labo bantu, and you say, I'm asking you to come forward, I'm asking you to guide me. I have a particular belief. I don't. And you know, I think it's also important for people to be sincere If you don't know, you don't know. I think that is also another thing that is holding people back from actually establishing relationships with people. I mean, with amadlozi, because they're so concerned with, I don't know if it's the performance of ukuphahla or the idea of what it's supposed to be. But I mean, you know, it's like ukhulumile, even if you didn't have that candle.
Yes.
And you just took a moment to connect and to speak to a particular person that you know is there, even though you can't see them. That is how you start. And that is how you establish this relationship. But the other thing, which is consistency, right? People will start the conversation, but not continue it. People will say what they need to say, but not continue the relationship, not wait for answers, not respond to the answers, you know.
Yeah, but here's the critical part, because you said communication is key in a relationship. So I'm communicating. What kind of communication am I expecting back? Should I expect back? Because there's also another confusing thing. Yoguti, should I be hearing the voices in my head? Should I go to sleep and then there's a gogo who comes,
who's gonna with us all the time?
How?
So, listen, this is a consultation. Anyway, it doesn't communicate in various ways. The first sight of communication is obviously your body, right? Like, so what I say to my clients is, left is maternal, right is paternal. Sometimes, maupatla, you'll feel a tingle in your left shoulder. You know, you can assume uguthi there on the maternal, somebody, something is saying something. You know, sometimes you have a headache on your right hand side for like 3 days. Then you hear kabubabwako kune sifo or something, you know, already in your body. There was something that was communicating to you. Right. But I would imagine that also that takes like some time before you can acknowledge that particular kind of communication. But all of us have intuition. That is the voice of Ildozlako. All of us have inner voice. That is the voice of Ildozlako. Sometimes you're driving and you're lost and something says, turn left. That's Ildozlako. All of us have an inner voice. Akekho umuntu ozothi anginayo that thing. Akekho umuntu ozothi I don't have intuition. You know, even ebungomeni mawuthwasa, they teach you ukuthi Ildozi lihlala la in your sacral chakra. You know, which is where the feeling of intuition will come. Where you just feel something in your gut, literally. You know, you meet someone and something is like,
But here's a tricky thing about intuition. I sometimes struggle differentiating intuition and anxiety. Where it feels like the same thing sometimes. Where I suppose over time I've had to train myself to differentiate. But when you're not familiar with it, anxiety and intuition feel like the exact same thing.
But
and
I also think they sit differently in the body.
I think for me, the challenge is that what it does, like, it gives a connotation of foreboding that there's something negative happening and not necessarily just be on the lookout. You know what I mean? It feels like something bad is going to happen. And that's where then it also makes you feel like when it comes to ancestors, there's always something negative about to happen.
This is true. But for me, I think the separation between intuition and anxiety is quite physical, right? Where is your intuition? In my experience, it's in your gut, like your sacral chakra, literally like here in your stomach, or, you know, the area that people would identify as their stomach. Uvalo often would be in your chest, like it's literally like a palpitation, like gugu, you know?
Okay.
Which is a sound of an alarm, like something that is bringing your attention to something very immediately, right? And there are many lifestyle things, I think, that contributes to why people have anxiety. Even things like coffee, you know? People who consume coffee will find that...
I can't drink coffee.
You know, exactly. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Because I can't always separate. Is this the effect of the caffeine or is this Ildozlam? You know, and somewhere the Ildozi will sneak in anyway. You know, it'll start off as like, I'm coming down off the caffeine. Kanti Nildozi is like, oh, there we are. We're trembling out in Ingen. You know? So, and essentially it all comes back to awareness of yourself, of your feelings. And it takes practice. You're not going to know how to separate the two if you haven't been observing. Because what is going to allow you to differentiate is experience. You know? Aye.
mangiphuze ikofi ngishaya yilento le akusiyidlozi it's the caffeine. But it takes you being aware of that and paying attention to that and then being like, no, manginomuntu osona or I'm going to a particular place or at a particular time or whatever, ngishaywa uvalo for real. You know, and yeah, essentially it's like your awareness. You know, and the thing that I say about intuition is that it's also a muscle. The more you listen to it, the stronger it gets. You know, but if you disregard it, it becomes weak. You know, it's not able to strengthen itself. And idlozi, and I think it's also important to imagine idlozi na madlozi and the voice of amadlozi as something that is growing inside of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And things, for things to grow, they require nurture, you know, to be nurtured.
Yeah.
You know, nurturing things require attention.
Yeah.
And awareness. You know?
I think for me, what I've found in my personal life is that more beyond intuition, especially in our anxiety-ridden world, beyond intuition, my people speak in patterns. Right? And this is something that has been strengthened through literally this podcast, where, like I was saying earlier, you know, certain topics need to happen at a certain time, and I can't jump the gun and want to do a certain topic before. And sometimes between episodes, there will be like 2 weeks where I actually can't get to the topic because I realize that I'm not ready for it. And these things happen through coincidence. For me, that is the language that my people speak. They speak in coincidence, where over the years, I've had to learn to read patterns. Like if I have requested something, I have to then be very aware of the things that then begin to happen. And the connections that start happening. And this one is tricky because we're raised to believe that coincidence is coincidence. It's just chance.
Personally, you know? I don't believe in coincidence. You know, I think it was the Da Vinci Code or one of those books by Dan Brown or whatever his name is, where he speaks about coincidence and he says, like, coincidence is the name that we give to things that we don't understand.
Yes.
You know, but in fact, there are things that are intricate and connected in ways that we're not able to fathom.
Yes.
You know? And I read that when I was like in high school, so well over 10 years ago, before Mtwasa, and had no idea. But I was just like, okay, gahle, you call this thing called coincidence. You know? And you said it, awareness. Which is what I was saying also again. It requires awareness. People want to be like, how do I know? But are you paying attention? And even with that, there is a difference, because once you tell people, Luguti, you must pay attention to the signs, then people become paranoid. You know, that's also another lesson that you need to dive into and like try figure out for yourself, which is, what is a sign and what is my influence? You know, what is my paranoia? What is my like reading everything as a sign, you know, because people also do that.
Yeah.
You'll go see, okay, a bird flew by and, you know, a moth came to my candle. It's
what
like,
does it mean? What does it mean?
You know,
what does
it's this like, mean? But it's a flame and a moth, you know? And if there is something inside of you that says this moth is here for a reason, you need to interrogate that.
Yeah.
You know? And with fairness, not to serve your purpose, but with fairness. And those are not things that like you can develop and come to once off. They take time and practice. And I mean, this is what I appreciate about Ubungom. It's a practice. You actually have to do things so that you learn the lessons and that you get better at them. You know, same thing with Ukuphahla. It's like you actually have to phahla, because people will say, oh, I mean, I'm a urban person. I didn't grow up in a family that did this. I don't even know how to speak my own language. I speak predominantly English. And by people, I mean me. You know, this was me. You know, I didn't know how to but the more that you pass that, the words come. The words of your indigenous language, they come. You know, the more you pass that, like mau pass that for the first time and mau pass that 20 sessions later, you'll never pass that the same.
Yeah.
Even mau twasa, the way ukitanga kona, mau sase itwasa, and the way ukitanga kona, you know, after 2 years utwasile is different. Why? Yeah. Because practice. Practice. And that's the thing that allows you to define. That's the thing that allows you to learn. And that's the thing that allows you to see the difference between what is just an occurrence in the world and what is the guidance of my ancestors?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're going to learn, Uguti, there was a time when I thought it was the guidance of my ancestors, but actually that moth was just there because it was attracted to light, as all moths are.
Yeah.
You know? But then actually there was a day when a bee came, not a moth, a bee. And that was Ilo's lamp. Mm. You know? You know? So
I think you said something very critical in that in reading the signs, you have to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes what tends to happen when we're trying to look for signs is that we have a tendency of leaning towards the negative, you know, where, you know, this and this happened and I felt like this bad feeling or, you know, sometimes I get inboxes from people asking me about signs in their lives, you know. So what does this mean? What does that mean? And a lot of the questions tend towards people being fearful of the signs that they're seeing, especially when they are now suspecting something, right? They are now suspecting a person that, you know, these things are not going right, and they're sort of looking for confirmation that someone is doing something towards them. How do we then engage that principle of fairness in reading the signs to make sure that we are not reading into the situation, but we're reading out of the situation?
I mean, it's fairness, which means there is no bias.
Yeah.
You know, if umuntu is trying to validate something because of a personal feeling, there is a bias there. You're not receiving this thing objectively, you know, which means you're not giving the situation a fair chance.
Yeah.
You're influencing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the thing. Iba fair.
Yeah.
Just be fair,
you
know, and ilozi, intuition, your inner voice is fair. It's unbiased. It's subconscious, you know, it's not influenced by conscious things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need to tap into that and to listen to that.
Yeah.
And I love the inner voice so much. And this is why I always use that example of being lost.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes out of nowhere. There's nothing that says this road is longer, so take that road. It just says, take this road. You know, and the inner voice, like our intuition, requires practice and being listened to. And if you don't listen to it, you'll find yourself influencing it. But if you are listening to it, you'll hear it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You'll hear it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
There's an exercise that I have been recommending for people, which is just to sit and to ask yourself questions and to see what answer comes. Don't influence that question.
Mm.
You know? Don't influence it. Just be like, who are you? And see what comes.
Mm.
Whatever. Just ask questions and don't think about them.
Mm.
Just, and there is an answer that will come outside of that influence, you know, and that is the subconscious. That is Idlos. That is that other part, because Idlos also is yourself. It's an older, and we want to believe, wiser version of yourself. You know, it's like your higher self, you know, so eliminate self, wounded self, tragic self, bias self,
victim self,
and just listen to the higher self, you know, and when you give the higher self space, it comes forward. But when you want to like block it with influences and biases and personal feelings and all of those things, then they will be tainted, you know, and it will fight to get through that place, but it won't be as clear as if you just let it come through.
Sure. I think how I really, really connect to what you're saying is that what I do, especially in the case of trying to differentiate between anxiety and intuition, is, I suppose, doing breath work, right? In that moment. Like you say, when you can't differentiate, just sitting in the moment and just breathing, just to clear out, not to calm yourself down, but to clear out your thoughts so that you're not, because it could be that now you're frantic now and all of these thoughts that you have, your preconceived ideas of what could be happening, you know, your natural biases towards certain dangers are now flooding your mind, you know. So I think from what I've learned for myself is that when you sit and do just breath work, just deep breaths, literally 2 minutes, even if you don't necessarily get anything, just to clear your mind so that if something and is coming
and in that moment
through,
you're engaging your body, right?
Yes.
Which goes back to what we were saying about where is this feeling coming in your body when you're trying to differentiate between anxiety and intuition. Often, anxiety will come from your chest area, which is the heart chakra. I don't know the Sintu words for these energy places. So anyway, your heart chakra, you know, and we know that the heart chakra also has to do with like personal feelings, with personal expressions, with love, with like feelings, you know, as opposed to intuition, which is guidance. You know, so when you're feeling anxious, your heart will race, you know, in your chest area, there will be a feeling there. So even that, paying attention to your body, where is this feeling emanating from? You know, and if you pay attention and if you're aware, you'll be able to feel, you know, sometimes it's in your shoulders and you're like, and like, this is tension. Sometimes sometimes it's tension, you know, sometimes it's here in your temples, your head. And you're like, and like, I've been thinking about this thing, like I've been stressing about this thing, you know. So that's also important when you're trying to differentiate. This thing, you know, to consider where in your body the feeling is emanating from. And that will help you. But also to have a consideration for that, for how and if you are influencing something. And that requires honesty. You know, that requires honesty. And I think that's actually one of the things that don't allow people to connect in Amadlo Zwab. Being honest and being sincere. You know, with men particularly, I've realized that vulnerability is the other thing.
Really?
Men are not able to just be vulnerable. Because Mokulma Nedlos is just you, Nedlos, like. But men won't do that work. Because what does that require? Vulnerability. Like, literally, the physical position of ukukanga matolo is difficult for men. You know, to just kneel in front of something.
So you can't come with your kemche and sit in front
of what I mean? I mean, if you want to, maybe you can. Because essentially it's a conversation. So maybe you uzo watumlilo and just sit there.
Otherwise,
but even there, if you're sincere, Ildozi will come for that moment. When you're sitting on your kemche, Ildozi will come. If you give it sincerity, it will come. Because it know, and it's like, this is what I'm saying. People are so concerned with the performance of ukuphahla and with the performance of connecting that they forget ukuthi what is it actually about. You know? And again, connecting with Idlozi or having a relationship with Idlozi is connecting with yourself and establishing a relationship with yourself. You know? And there are many people, mostly men, who are not willing to do that work. Of connecting with themselves. You know, of being vulnerable with themselves, of being honest and sincere with themselves. That's actually what's getting in the way of people. Because all of those things, to be honest, are excuses. Like, I understand, ukuthi there are ways in which you've been raised and all of those things that don't allow us to have access to particular information. But essentially, a relationship with idols is a relationship with yourself, you know, and that is what it is. And whether you come from a family, whether, you know, when I first tasada the sangoma, I used to say, if you can pray, you can pahla. Because essentially it's about having the understanding of connecting with something outside of yourself.
Okay.
You know, and if you can have that understanding, then you can pahla. You know, now it's just about who you're talking to. You know, Idlozi has its place and its limitation. Unkulunkulu, we want to say, has no limitations, but he also has his limitations, you know. But everybody has a role to play, you know. So it's about directing the conversation to the right person and also speaking about the right things. You know, because people will go Idlozini and ask for things that Idlozi like can see ukuthi anyway, this thing, like, I'm not gonna help you win that girl. You know, I'm not gonna help you buy that car, Mfethu, because you know, you know, like, I was no driver, you know, things like that. So it's like people get frustrated, but it's like, ukhuluma ngani, ukhuluma nobani, you know.
Okay, that brings us to the next question. So now, I've started establishing communication with my people.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that maybe on a weekly basis, say on a Sunday evening, I sit, I will talk to my people. You know, just, I think, I don't, there's something strange about Sunday evening.
That's my advice. I say to people, you must pasha once a week.
Yeah.
And on a Sunday.
Because you're very reflective on a Sunday afternoon.
It's the beginning of a new week, end of a new week, you know? Yeah, it's a good day.
So now, because now you're talking about... Yes. So now you're talking about who are you talking to? Who are you directing this question to, right? And then this brings a need for specificity in it now. So then comes the question...
Specification.
And now comes the question of, at which point now should I go consult with Isangoma? I've never consulted before. I have developed an interest in African spirituality. Now I'm learning, I'm communicating. I'm assuming now that the next step will be then to go consult. Because now I need something specific now. I need direct messaging now. At which point should I go seek?
I think
a consultation.
What will lead us to that point is people having an understanding of the role of Isangoma.
Mm-hmm.
What is the role of Isangoma? Mm. Right?
Yes.
Isangoma is there to guide, number one.
Mm.
We are not here to save people.
How?
We're not here to save people.
How, man?
We are here to guide people to a place of healing and of establishing relations. Well, in my case, anyway. I think it's cool. Mele mina. Mhlambe mele abanye abantu they are out there saving people. Yabo. Mina, as ukoko mahlodi, my role as Isangoma is to bring people to a place where they can facilitate their own healing and establish their own relationship and understand the guidance of their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know? My place, and I mean, I also angsingi sango mayum shlash. I can, nyashlashluba nyakona, but that's not what I do. Mpengula ngamatambo, right? Which means ukuthi I interpret a message. You know, I am not the message, me in a self. I am, like, you know, I'm a translator, basically. But also, you shouldn't be dependent on isangoma to translate. Maybe the first 2, 3, maybe even 4 times. After, like, 5, 6 times, you should have established some kind of understanding of your own. You know, whether it's through your dreams, whether it's through your... And I mean, when people, like, I give people instructions and then they'll be like, they'll come up with follow-up questions. Like, Togoza Koko, how many silver coins must I take? Togoza Koko, I'm like, follow your intuition. Follow your intuition. Because what I say is what Amadluzwako have probably communicated to you, but you needed someone to decipher it for you. I'm not saying anything new. You know, even when we see people batagatwa and all of those things, chances are upupile vele bagwaza epupeni or bagijimisa or being trapped or whatever. You just needed me to let you know what that meant. It's not that the message was not there. I'm not the message.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to help you understand what this thing means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even when they are cleansing and all of those things, those are rituals of ukhlambulula. You know, to bring things to light and to release them and to undo them and to bring people to a better place. Because even those things like cleansings and all of those things, they require my intention. They require your intention. They require the input and the participation of Idloslako and also the healing gift of Idloslam. It's not imiti that heals people, you know. It's the union of Amadlos. You know, it's the intentions of us as people who are doing the work. And Nala Madluze's hamba now. You know, so when we talk about that whole thing of like Isangoma, all of those things, it's like, yes, you can have a Isangoma that you speak to every now and again, but this can't be your lifeline. This can't be how you communicate with your ancestors. You know, that's why I'm saying our work is not to save people. You know, and I guess I'm also saying that as someone who has had to release myself from that thing, you know, of like wanting to save people, to be like, actually, no, I'm here to guide people. I'm here to assist people. I'm here to shine a light maybe where there was darkness, you know, but also like, I'm not the candle. I'm not the flame. I'm not the match, you know.
So then if I now realize that, now,
okay, well, I am the light, but like,
so I realize now that I think I should go consult.
Yeah,
now, I've looked online, you know, I've seen people, I've gone on Instagram, you know.
And even like, sorry to interrupt you, but before we get to that, Isangoma Ekdalin would be the last point. You'd go to Isangoma when you'd already spoken to your mom, you'd already spoken to your aunt, really? You'd already spoken to your, you know, then, but hi, okay, I see a nyanghin. Because Isangoma, and I think particularly Isangoma in the modern age, is a knowledge keeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is someone who is able to impart knowledge that is not easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But Ekdaleni, we would have people in our own families,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why going back to the original question is like, where do you start? You start in your family, you start in your community, you know, because there is, or there should be, someone in your family who can tell you what that dream means. You don't have to go to Isangoma. You must call your aunt and she'll tell you, ukuthi mawupupha masimba kushukuthini. You know, you don't need a sangoma for that. But because of colonialism, the influence of religion, just breaking down of families, we don't have those knowledge keepers in our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isangoma should be like the last person you come to.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
when you can't go to anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, but because we are in an age and a time where people can't go to their parents, people can't go to their aunts and their uncles, but I also encourage people to participate.
Mm.
You know, because people want us to be like, oh, in my family, in, I'm like, eh, you must patlala madlozi, and you must tell them to bring you someone in your family who's going to help you and guide you.
Mm.
There's a client that I had, and you know, he's a young, he's urban and all of those things. And there was a suggestion, and obviously he's like, I didn't grow up like that. And then he went home. And when he went home, randomly, coincidentally, umalume wakhe bakayo phahla emsamo and called him. You know, and I'm like, do you see why you had to go home in the time that you did?
Mm.
And do you see why umalume wakho beka phahla when you were there? Mm. So that you can learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can say, ukuthi ngibone umalume wam aphahla kanje, ngithi siphahla kanje. You know, and he had been resisting it for such a long time, that thing of going home.
Yeah.
You know, but literally when he arrived, umalume wakhe wayo phahla. And I was like, yabo.
Yeah.
You know, and now you want to ask me, ukuthi ngiphahla kanjani in Patamadlozi told you to go home so that you can find out. And then you went home and umalume wakho yaphahla.
Speaking of which, who, when I go for consultation, my very first consultation. When I go for my first consultation, what should I expect is going to happen?
Whew. Going back again to the point of like idlozi and an understanding of idlozi having to be a thing in our families already before we engage izangoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would have happened ideally is that you would have patlat before you gone to the sangoma.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So kagegile, you've spoken to everybody, you know. Then you patla your abatjela bokoko na bomkulu. So zan bokoko na bomkulu, I'm going to go see koko madlozi. Ngicela ukuthi nifike njenga madlozi kuzwakale, whatever you have to say. But an acknowledgement ukuthi usuku uyowuzo ukuthi la madlozi afuna ukuthini from a person who maybe has a better connection than you. You know, so you would have already started having your own conversation before you go to the sangoma. But again, because of where we are and alienation from those ideas and customs and all of those things, people buy a telega with no understanding. No good idlozi yini, right? But I would imagine, and this is also again based on my own personal experience, ukuthi isangoma is supposed to confirm things that you already know. They're supposed to provide clarity on what you already know. Umuntu akumelanga, ithi ngathi akumelanga, but angazi kusuke kwenza kanjani ukuthi umuntu akutshele into ongayazi. Even if you hadn't accepted it, you know, there should be, and again, intuition, something ngaphakathi kwakho, ethi, hayi, okay. You know? Umuntu makathi kuwe unesilwane because sometimes when you're walking, you see something in the corner of your eye. You should be able to be like, actually, yeah. You know? If umuntu athi, whatever. It should be a confirmation. You shouldn't go to isangoma and not know ukuthi lo muntu ukhuluma ngani. Because that's where abantu bathatheka khona. Because now you're being overwhelmed by things that you don't know. I mean, a part of my practice is also to say, when I send people back to go communicate namadlozi wabo, is to ask for confirmation for everything that I've said.
angithi ngikutshele kanje na kanje na kanje hamba uyobabuza ukuthi iqiniso, ask them to confirm ukuthi lento le iqiniso, you know. So it shouldn't be like such an overwhelming experience that there's no resonance.
That you're totally freaked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because so, also, a reading is about truth.
Mm.
And truth is, again, instinctive.
Mm.
So when you hear it, you know it.
Mm.
You know, it's like goosebumps. You'll just, something in you will respond because it's you know? So there should be a reverence. There should be a resonance. Mm. There should be clarity, hopefully, you know? Because like I'm saying, essentially sangoma is supposed to be there to shed light on something that maybe your uncle or your aunt or your mother should have been able to express, but they weren't able to, and now you've come to this point, you know? And there are like very intricate things that require the work of isangoma and all of those kinds of things, you know? And even how you end up kuleyo sangoma should be guided by your intuition, you know? Because
I'm so is Instagram the way of my intuition communicate.
I mean, mina, you know, I was joking with Baba to say, with mina kahle kahle, I found my gobela on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I started following her on Twitter, and I just loved her. Like, I really did. I just had this feeling of resonance for her, only to find out ukuthi kahle kahle ila madlozi that are connecting, you know. And modernity is not something, or urbanization is not something that is lost on amadlozi, you know. So I think social media has its place in a very minute way, but like all media has its corruptions and it's like hyper visibility and just like, you know, all of those things. So definitely you could be guided by someone, you know. One of the goggles that I tossed with was like, I was on Explore and then I saw this person and then that person ended up being their gobela.
Sure.
You know? So, and again, it's like awareness. Paying attention to the signs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And differentiating, ukuthi, is this a sign or is this hype? You know? Because abanye abantu bathathwa umoya also. And you must be honest with yourself about that. Hayi kabi, but even people who are like, mina, I went to the wrong gobela, I'm like, ufike kanjani lapho? Who told you to go there?
This is a very critical thing. At which point should you seek a second opinion?
When there is no resonance, when you don't identify with something, and even that, your intuition will guide you to that, you know. And sometimes a second opinion is not ukuphikisa. Sometimes a second opinion is another perspective, you know. So other people, they want second opinions because bafuna ukuphikisa what they've been told, only to go and be told the same thing or to be fooled by people who see ukuthi wena uyabhayiza. You know, and then sometimes a second opinion is just ukugcwalisa and to give another perspective, you know, because we're not all gifted in the same way. So what Gogo Mahlodi tells you and what Gogo Sbanbani from wherever tells you might be about the same thing, but not the same thing, you know? Singakhuluma ngento eyi-one, but have different perspectives or be guided by amadlozi in a different way on how to tackle and to discuss this thing. You know, and that's important to have more than one perspective, you know, because that's also what allows fairness. Because bias is taking one kind of perspective, you know. And for people that are still like trying to develop and understand and establish a relationship with their ancestors, it might not always be easy to tap into that alternative perspective, which is why you might need a certain opinion. But again, like I'm saying, you know, it's like you must leave Indumbaye Sangoma and go home to have a conversation with your own ancestors. It's okay. Ngiphuma laphaya, bangitshele kanje na kanje. Ngicela nina njengamadlozi to confirm for me whether this is true or not. And that might be in a dream. That might be in a tingle in your shoulder. That might be a feeling in your gut. That might be your inner voice. You know, that takes your awareness. You know, and your practice of engaging all of the ways in which idlozi is communicating now, you know. And I don't know why this is popping into my head now, but like when we speak idlozi, people immediately think sangoma and all of that. But all of us in idlozi, all of us. If we understand and establish idlozi as a person and people that have come before us. Because auna muto oitswalang, do you know what I mean? And even the people that have brought us onto this earth didn't birth themselves. So if you just have that simple and fundamental and scientific and historical and just simple understanding of what Idlozi is, you know, and to imagine that all of those people that essentially are responsible for you being here are interested and intentional about your well-being. If you believe that, then you can connect with them. You know, ukuthi lo muntu ozale umzali wami uyafisa ukungibona ngiphilile ngijabulile. You know, if you believe that and you understand that, then you can connect nedlozi. You know?
Okay. So, should I, speaking of Idlozi always being associated with Isangoma, should I, as an ordinary person, angisho nina, you are like the Avengers, should I, as an ordinary person, concern myself with concepts like Mundao, Nguni, and all of those things? Do they, is there a way in which they, should I have an understanding of that? Should I know how to?
Oh my God, was everybody who listening to this podcast needs to come to my talk, okay? Because I'm going to be talking about this. But essentially, I think on a basic level, what is important to understand is that there are usually two groups of ancestors, right? Blood ancestors and water spirits, or blood ancestors, or water ancestors, right? Blood ancestors, ilaba in our bloodline with a name and a surname, a particular person that you can actually say, uto, lo ukokwam or ukokwam or malumuam or whoever. Then kuba namadlozi or spirits from the waters, you know, right? Water spirits that aren't always easily identified with like a name and a surname. Like you can't always pinpoint them to a particular person. And more often than not, they are not related to us by blood, but they still have an influence in our family and act upon our lives in a particular way, right? Umdao being one of those water spirits. So outside of Umungoma, I have seen in my own practice, Ugutu, Umdao does affect most people in South Africa. You know, there are many people who come and consult and Umdao will show up, or Isthunywa, which is another water spirit, you know? So I think fundamentally, sometimes that's the thing, just to understand that Uguti, there are like two classes of energies and spirits that enact upon our lives. And some of them require like processes of initiation and what's the other word? Observation and rites of passage, essentially, you know, but not all of them, but some of us. Most of us, I think, because also South Africa is a very special place. You know, I don't know that there's many people here that don't have the influence of ancestry. And even if you think about like where we are, we're literally at the bottom of the continent. You know, so there's so many things that like influence who we are, you know, ancestral things, migration, things like that, wars and all of those things. So to some degree, I think many of us do have Umdao. I'm going to say that. I mean, people want to act like Umdao is this exclusive, mighty yellow snake. You know, that's for special people. I don't know. Whatever. You know, most of us. I mean, Umdao is a mighty ancestor and we mustn't joke like that. But I'm just like, it's not as exclusive as people want to make it out to be. And there's a reason ukuthi ezizangoma sithwasa lelo dlozi, because it has a particular job to do and particular rituals to perform.
Yeah.
You know, but Umdao also affects money, career, love life, sex, fertility, which are things that affect all of us, whether we isangoma or not.
When I'm sitting in Pahla, like you said, just Sunday afternoon, light your candle and speak, do I engage those ones as well? Or do I just speak to my great grandfather and my grandmother?
I mean, my advice is don't leave anyone out. You know, other people will advise you to only patla and speak to the ancestors that you have been acknowledged by, you know. So for instance, if Gabo Babwaka, they didn't do right by you, then don't speak to them. But my thing is just like speak to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you have been to a consultation where Umdao has been identified for you, you know, and kuthi kunenkinga or there is a very strong presence of Umdao or whatever, then khuluma naye.
Should I, when I'm consulting, should I be asking that question? Should I come to you in that first consultation and say, and ask you, tell me
No, I think umdawu is one of those things that should come up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think take things as they come. Mm-hmm. You know, don't assume, like, don't want to know. Like, take things as they come. You know? So if only kuvela ugogwakho emaphusheni, you know. But if someone says to me, hey, she has gog, I've been dreaming of abelungu, or I've been dreaming of Arab people, or, you know, sometimes I dream this tall, like, African man. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds like umdawu. You know, let's talk about that. You know, but if there isn't any suggestion of that, then I wouldn't suggest, like, ukufosta, because it also ties into that idea of, like, superiority over, you know, and I've got special, or, you know, like, no, just who's coming forward? You know, like, don't, I don't want to say don't dig, but, like, skap up, you know, take things as they come.
I will leave it here. Toza yeah.
Toza.
The topic of ancestors, more often than not, seems complicated and very, very mysterious. And what we generally do is that we equate the complexity of the idea of ancestors with the complexity of the problems that we face in our own personal lives. Like, if my problems are really, really complicated, then I tend to believe that that means that spirituality itself is also that complicated. But as Koko Mahlodi demonstrated, getting to know your ancestors is really not that complicated if you really look into the basics of it. For me, a takeaway from this episode is that understand that your ancestors were once people. It is easier to understand a person than it is to actually understand a spiritual entity. So start by talking to your elders about the people in your family who have passed on. Develop a desire to learn about your family from a historical perspective. Even if your family does not believe in ancestors or African spirituality, they will generally be willing to tell you stories about those who came before you. And you will actually be amazed at what you learn about your family. This has been my particular way of approaching learning, in that I love speaking to my elders. I love speaking to my uncles and aunts and anyone that I can talk to in my family. And the idea is that this is not a confrontation. I'm not trying to catch anyone out or looking for someone to justify certain things in my life. I'm really just looking for information. And it's not information that I'm going to contradict and say, but this is not true, why is this happening? You're coming to them as their child, and you're coming to them as a student. What is important to keep in mind is that don't do this as a way of finding solutions to your life's problems. Remember that you're not doing this to get out of a certain challenge in your life that you're facing. What you're actually doing is that you're laying a spiritual foundation for your descendants. Also, set time to connect. To connect with your guide and to connect with yourself too. It does not necessarily have to be a specific time or a specific setup with different color candles and all that, but you just need to have a moment just to be quiet. The idea is just to do it and to do it regularly. And the other specifics, those ones will come over time. It should be something that you actually look forward to doing and not something that you actually dread, because what you're doing is a good thing, and over time it is an extremely beautiful experience. I genuinely hope that this has helped you in some way, and do feel free to share it with your family, and I really, really appreciate it. My name is Vusumzi Nqande. Thank you for joining me on yet another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.